HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Corporate earnings in first quarter showed skewed growth in select sectors. Companies benefited from low base, posting better earnings in Q1 compared to last year, but sequentially earnings showed contraction as margin pressure intensified with high input prices and reversal of cost rationalization measures. So, will earnings momentum continue in FY22? To understand that, I'm in conversation with S.P. Prabhu, CIO, Aegis Federal Life Insurance. Hi, Mr. Prabhu. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nasreen. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So first up, as we just got over with the June quarter earnings, let me begin by asking you what are the key takeaways and trends of June quarter earnings according to you?
Before I get into earnings, let me give a bit of a context here. This particular quarter was a bit of a challenge in terms of measuring how good the earnings are. And it came from a number of factors.
Yes.
Normally, when we look at earnings, we compare it with the corresponding period of the previous year. So previous year, that is Q1 of FY21, was a period when the country was largely under a complete lockdown. Maybe there
That's
was
right.
some relaxation towards June. But April, May was definitely under a complete lockdown. And this year, during the period of April-June, the country had a second wave and it was under partial lockdown. In the sense, it was the restrictions were largely local. The severity of lockdown changed from place to place. So there were differences in terms of states which it came. And the other challenge was we could not compare it with the first quarter of FY20. Because that was a normal year, but nonetheless, there was a sharp economic slowdown. So one thing that we should avoid doing when we look at this quarter's number is to compare it with the corresponding period last year. So a better metric would be to look at the street estimates of the earnings of a company or of a sector, and then see whether the earnings were able to, how did the earnings behave vis-a-vis the expectations. In addition to that, since there was no lockdown and no national lockdown, but there was, regional lockdowns of varying severity. So there were company-specific issues even within the sector. For instance, if you were to take the cement sector, if the cement market is largely in a states which are under a severe lockdown, then that particular company would get impacted. Whereas another company which operates in a region which doesn't have a lockdown or which had a very mild sort of lockdown or a lockdown only for a week or so would have a very, very different revenue and earnings outcome. So we need to keep this context in place when we look at the earnings. There were companies or sectors which had misses, and there were sectors which also gave positive surprises. If I were to sum it up, it's sort of a mixed bag. And there were also, and one unique part was there were companies which sometimes missed the margins at the EBITDA level or at the net profit level, they missed the expectations. But nonetheless, they could meet the expectation in terms of their revenue guidance or the analyst expectations of the revenues. So that's broadly the earnings profile.
That's right.
So far.
No, I completely agree that we probably may not be, it's an apple-to-apple comparison if we compare it with year-ago period, because we are all aware that the first quarter of last fiscal was a complete lockdown, and only in the last few days of June that we started seeing opening up of few cities in the country. I completely agree to that. So what if we compare this June quarter earnings to sequential earnings to December? Because December quarter or the March quarter, actually. So if you look at the March quarter, numbers were really very encouraging. There was a lot of confidence by the management commentaries about earnings momentum to continue. And we also saw two consecutive quarters where there was where most of the companies actually benefited from the pent-up demand. A, pent-up demand, and second was the festival demand for a lot of companies. But if we are comparing sequentially, do you still, I understand that they have met estimates, but sequentially, if you look at the overall Q1 Q1 numbers, does it give you confidence that earnings revival is still going to sustain?
I would broadly divide the companies who have declared results into two categories. Companies which have directly been impacted by the second wave and the lockdown, and the companies which had relatively lower impact. For instance, if you look at a sector like IT, in this sector, it's not a consumption-driven sector, say, like compared to, let's say, an automobile sector. So the impact of COVID was less. There might have been health concerns among employees and stuff like that. But if you look at the financials, the impact was less because it's largely you are serving the global markets. So so if you look at IT sector, the larger IT companies have, for instance, met their earnings estimate, or maybe there was a minor miss, but by and large it has been in line with estimates. If you look at the mid cap IT names, they have in fact surprised positively. Whereas a sector like a consumption-driven sector, like say automobiles, that too, you know, relatively a discretion where discretion comes into play. Obviously, there were the lockdowns severely impacted them, and sequentially, there was a sharp fall in
sales
in both
numbers,
sales and consequently on the earnings.
So
I think it's a bit contextual there. Nonetheless, I think the street had built these numbers. Some companies had given guidance and forward guidance in terms of the impact of the slowdown. So it was not a complete surprise. There were cases of specific companies where there were surprises, both positive and negative. But largely, I would say the earnings were in line with estimates, with a few misses and a few positive surprises.
But, you know, over the last few quarters, we have seen commodity inflation eating a lot of a big chunk of the margins. Now, I know that this is a big positive trigger for companies like metal companies because they thrive on the rise in the commodity prices. But at the same time, companies like auto, as you mentioned, or FMCG products, they depend on this steel, aluminium, or the oil, palm oil, as the raw material for their products. We have seen commodity inflation hitting the margins. How long do you see these margins remaining depressed? Do you see a revival or a correction in commodity prices so that the margins can be corrected?
If you look at the nature of the inflation, I think there are a few characteristics which are there. I'll just briefly touch upon them. One is this, the current bout of inflation, if you look at the underlying commodities, it is quite broad-based. It has covered metals, it has covered energy, where I'm talking of both crude as well as coal. It has covered agri products. It has also covered your basic chemicals. Now, these are all building blocks for most industries. They're either raw materials or inputs for most industries. So the nature of the inflation this time was quite broad-based. It was global in nature. If you look at the CPI inflation, both in developed countries and emerging countries, it has gone up substantially over the last few months. The monetary policy, normally when inflation goes up, the monetary policy tries to contain inflation. This time, because of COVID and the need to support the economy, that has not happened. So we are in an era of massively surplus liquidity and low interest rates. Fiscal policies continue to be expansionary, either by supported by CapEx or by welfare expenditure of the government. And in certain select commodities, there was supply side disruptions. It came from issues like there was a shortage of containers for some time. Even now, the situation is not completely normalized, but it's less intense than what it was a few months back. Or some of the COVID-specific issues came in. So that's broadly the nature of the beast. Now, companies have tried to protect their margins by passing on the higher input cost pressures into their final products. So if you look at it, however, it's not uniform. In some cases, the pass-through of inflationary pressure has been partial.
Yes.
In some, it has been complete. But then there are specific issues like contractual commitments. Mm. So a company will have some time before it does a price reset. The price elasticity of products, because certain products, if you hike prices sharply, it can result in a fall in demand. So companies have tried to staggered in price rises. Some companies have also used pricing as a strategy to gain market share, knowing that
competition will do it.
Mm. Yeah. So it has been sort of company specific, but nonetheless, most companies have passed it at least to some extent. The cost pressures into their final products.
So going forward, do you see margins, a healthy improvement in the margins?
I think margins can, if commodity prices continue to remain elevated, margins can be under a bit of pressure, because not every company will have the ability to fully pass on the inflationary pressures. So we may have situations where for certain sectors or certain companies, we may see, while there is good news on their revenue front that they're able to get volume growth or value growth, but their EBITDA margins can come under a bit of pressure. But by and large, I think companies over a period of time will pass through the inflation pressures.
Okay. So what are your observations about the consumer demand? Because we have seen that rural consumption has been pretty strong, and urban consumption to some extent had slowed down and showed a kind of resilience in the last quarter. But do you see an increase, or do you see a contribution by urban consumption as well?
Yeah, I think it will be a bit of rural demand and urban demand coming together. If you look at the second wave, the lockdown was localized, as well as most of the supply chains were pretty robust, unlike the first wave where there was disruptions in supply wave. So, for instance, people could order stuff on internet and get it delivered at home. So unlike the first wave where when the wave ended, there was a bit of revenge, so-called revenge buying or revenge purchases, where there was sudden sharp spurt in demand due to suppressed or inability of consumers to get products during the lockdown. We don't see that happening now, at least not on a significant scale. There can be a bit of, suppressed demand coming, spurting out here and there. But on a wide scale, we don't see that happening. Nonetheless, the good news on the urban front is that the vaccination, progress in vaccination has been quite good. The population of India above 18 is slightly over 90 crores. And so far, 55 crore people have got at least one round of vaccination, and the numbers are progressing further. So as we move towards December, where the target is to vaccinate 100% of the population, we would see increasing amount of unlock happening, the economic situation getting normalized, offices opening, restaurants, malls opening, and I think then urban consumption will get normalized. So I don't see a revenge buying, but it will get normalized. Rural is a slightly different dynamics come into play. FY21, the agri production was very good, and secondly, they also got a good rabi crop. So consequently, procurement was quite heavy. The income levels of rural were elevated last year. We expect broadly that trend to continue. For instance, if you look at rainfall this year, there is a bit of shortage. It's not as good as last year. But nonetheless, it's if you look at the sowing area, right now we are at about 98% of FY21 in terms of crop areas which have been sowed. So it's more or less, so most of the crops, if you look at individually, barring cotton, in terms of sowing areas, they are more or less in line with last year's levels. So we expect agriculture to be a normal. It may not be a bumper growth over previous year, but we expect a normal but good season. And consequently, I think income flows into agriculture will, income flows to household from agricultural produce will continue. In addition to that, central and state governments are doing CAPEXs, capital expenditure programs, which create jobs in rural areas. MNREGA is in full swing for rural jobs, as well as the government, the central government has extended the free food grain scheme, which was to end early this year, this financial year, till Diwali. So it has been extended. And consequently, because of free food grains, so consumers need to spend less money on food and they have little more money to spend on other goods, other consumer goods. So consequently, we expect demand to be healthy on the rural front this year.
Right. What is your overall opinion on the stock markets right now? I understand June quarter earnings is almost behind our back, but there are still cases of the new variant of COVID in other parts of Asia. But market investors in India are still quite bullish about the Indian market's prospects. Of course, there is a concern of a third wave. How do you see Indian markets in this context?
Yeah, India always historically had a particular characteristic that we do a set of reforms when we are pushed to the back. And the Modi government has also used this pandemic period to drive reforms. So let me just give sort of some broad brush perspective on that. Corporate tax reforms have happened. Tax rates have been cut from 30 to 22%, which is currently in line with the global tax rate. So in terms of our taxation structure, we are globally competitive, and now the problems of retrospective taxation also are behind us. So it's a benign tax environment. We have agri reforms, which perhaps may not immediately impact us, but over a period of time will help particularly two aspects, contract farming and free trade, will unshackle agriculture over a period of time, though there can be short-term problems with that. We have a wonderful labor reforms which have happened. 29 acts have now been made into 4 acts. The architecture of labor laws has been modernized. Enforcement is stricter. So we do have a significant labor reforms that have happened. Then there have been sectoral reforms like insurance sector, FDI limit has been increased to 74%. Major Ports Bill has been, now it's Major Ports Act, that has been passed by Parliament. Defense sector, there has been emphasis on indigenization. PSU banks have been recapitalized and mergers have happened. So these are all various sectoral initiatives have occurred. And lastly, there is this major program of both privatization and disinvestment. By disinvestment, I mean listing of PSUs for the first time, and privatization is outright sale transfer of control to private sector. So far, privatization is still work in progress, but disinvestment has moved at a fast pace over the last few years. And lastly, we have a PLI scheme which will enable identified sectors to create world-class production facilities. So I think overall, if you look at the reforms and the thrust of the government, so that is very, very supportive of industry, and we have created an environment in which industry can thrive. So there are a few more reforms which are there. There are further GST reforms which are expected. Some have already been implemented, and some are likely to come through in the next year or so. And then there is a single securities market code, which will bring in number of securities market related act, and maybe help us modernize our market, the legal infrastructure of our market. So I think these are all extremely good signs. We have a large CAPEX program both at the center and the state level. One very interesting area which is a lot of emphasis is happening is on the logistics sector, because that is a sector which impacts everywhere. The average logistics cost for Indian industry is 13%. In developed countries, it's about 8%. So as and when we modernize our transport infrastructure, our warehousing, cold storage, and stuff like that, it enables the industry to not only have a very modern infrastructure, it also helps them to crash their costs. I think which is all positive. So over a medium term, so the macro environment will drive companies to invest as well as generate good returns. And you have company specific issues like greater emphasis on digitalization. Companies are increasingly using data analytics, not only to understand their customers better, but also to cut costs. Supply chains have become more resilient and they are being optimized. Cost rationalization is happening. Balance sheets are sounder because of deleverage. So we have the building blocks for a good earnings outlook over a period of time. And that's my outlook for the corporate over the next, let's say, next 3 years or so.
Okay. On that note, thanks a lot, Mr. Prabhu, for joining us and sharing those insights. Of course, the conversation can go for a long time, but I'm afraid we are running short of time. So thanks a lot once again, and we wish you good health.
Thanks, Nasreen. And it was a pleasure talking to you. So take care.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.